involved in corruption. And he is thinking somehow that, you know, in the summer he can go home and, you know, go around the Kaaba and, hold on, finish, cover it. Delusion. Doing of righteous deeds. This is when we have done some ill, we chast ourselves, we stop doing it, we feel sorry about it, we turn to Allah, we try to do some good. This is, we are now spurred on, we are urged on to do good. This is one of value. The last major principle is that forgiveness is only acceptable if it comes before the soul reaches our throat, when the death rattle begins. And the man, when he realizes the death is upon him, he tells Allah, forgive me, you know, too late, too late. It will also be too late if the sun rises in the west. If you are living, if Allah destined for us to be living at that time, if the sun starts to rise in the west, we are finished. No forgiveness is accepted at that point. This is one of the major signs of the ending of this world. The Prophet ﷺ had said, when three things appear, faith will not benefit one who has not previously believed or has not derived any good from his faith. The rising of the sun in its place of setting, the Antichrist, and the beast of the earth. On another occasion he said, Allah will accept repentance of anyone who seeks it before the sun rises in the west. That's the end. And I said, I just wanted this to be brief, to give you an opportunity to ask some questions on the topic. This topic, which is vital for every believer to understand, not only intellectually, but to accept as a spiritual principle which he applies in his daily life. He constantly remembers Allah, feeling sick and sorry for the ill that he does, giving up what Allah has prohibited, stopping whatever he realizes is wrong, turning back to Allah, and striving his utmost not to repeat that sin. I should add that although Islam states, according to the statement of Prophet Muhammad, that Islam erases what came before it. In other words, if a person becomes a Muslim, whether having been a non-Muslim, in fact, he decided to choose Islam at a point in time, or having been a nominal Muslim, that is a Muslim written in his passport or his identity card, and realizing that this was not Islam, and then he decides to choose Islam, these individuals who become Muslims, enter into Islam, that act, that beautiful, righteous deed of entering into Islam, entering into faith, erases the sins that came before him, except those which involve the prophecies of others. If you, prior to Islam, robbed a bank, and somewhere along the line you decided to accept Islam, but you still have the stash, you cannot accept Islam and say, well, okay, right, so what came before, and, you know, continue on with your stash. No, You have to return that money. It is haram for you. So where it involves the properties of others, that acceptance for repentance will not take place unless you return the property. If you don't know, for example, you stole some stuff and it's in your house now, you don't remember, where did I steal it from? Who did I steal it from? You know? Because you were so busy in your past life, right? Then, this material that you have, you give it away to, the poor people who are needy and stuff. Don't keep it. Because as long as you keep it knowing that this is a product of your past, then your Islam is not like you know what came before. You have to get rid of it. So inshallah, I will stop here a few minutes before the event and give anybody who has any questions they'd like to ask a brief chance. Alaykum salam. Well, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had spoken about this matter, the sale of haram items. He prohibited the sale of alcohol. He prohibited the sale of drugs. He prohibited the sight of a prostitute. And the money is earned by a fortune teller. The general principle, if you have bought, for example, before Islam, you like to collect artifacts. You know, you bought some Buddhas and other idols and stuff, right? You become a Muslim. It is prohibited for you to sell these idols. If it was out of some material for you to melt it down, you know, utilize the value of that material in itself, that's another situation. However, to sell these items, you accepted Islam and you found in your house, you know, some bottles of alcohol. You know, you bought some of the best. You gotta pour it down the drain. You can't even give it away. Haram. And music is the same thing. The musical instrument is prohibited. You know, when we say musical instrument, we talk about the class of prohibited instruments, which involve wind and stringed instruments. And I just to clarify that. Those instruments are prohibited. You cannot sell them. And you can't give them away. If you did it before you asked the question, you're okay. But after you ask the question, you can't do it. The food is haram. I mean, like, it has pork in it. Yeah, this is different. This is different. For needy people, I mean, you can pass it on to others. But the sale of it is what we're talking about. The sale of these items, you know, especially the ones which corrupt the society, corrupted, influence goes beyond the individual. It is prohibited for us. I mean, that money, you see, because what's happening is we're thinking that we're losing this money. We put all this money into these records now, you know, this money is gone, lost. No! If you destroy these records, the money is not lost. The value of the act that you have done has been, you know, blessed by Allah. Innumerable good deeds have been added to your side. No, a record player is not haram to sell in itself because you can get records which have material which is halal. So the record player is a neutral instrument, right? You know? Like a television or a video, these are neutral instruments. They become haram when you put haram things on them. Right? So those type of things, say for example, because you know there's not too much halal stuff around to use with these instruments. So you say, brother, rather than me keep it and be tempted to put some haram on it again, better I sell it. Alright. This is okay, because I said the instrument in and of itself is not haram.
Suppose the previous life,
you have to get rid of them, brother. Yes, you have to get rid of them. Now this is a question for those who didn't hear the question. If a person had stolen things of practical nature, like clothes, you know, they weren't into the impractical things, still, these things have to be gotten rid of. You're wearing something which is haram to you. It is the property of others. If you don't know who it is, or you've worn it so long now to take it back to the store, you know, it's just going to throw you in jail, you know. It's better, you don't give it to some needy people, you know, etc. Don't keep it.
Right,
which is Islam, in the case that all people money, yeah? And like,
would it be incumbent on you,
like, to
pay them that money before going on
Hajj
or
Umrah
or so on and so
forth? Yeah, this is an issue. You know, if we owe money, especially money, for example, which involves debts of interest, paying of interest, etc. Prior to Islam, we come into Islam, these debts are still on us. Now, you see, a Muslim is obliged to fulfill his word. This is a contract we have signed and these monies are owed. We should fulfill this contract. If we're going to go on Umrah or on Hajj, we have to get permission from them, because this money that we're going to use is money which actually belongs to those people whom we owe these debts to. Before we can use that money for Hajj or act of worship, we have to get their permission. And they say, okay, go ahead, because you have your plan, you're going to pay them after so and so and so. And they say, okay, fine. But you have to get their permission, otherwise that money is haram for you to use in those purposes.
You mentioned about the interest and some people are saying that if you're taking the interest, you can take it and give it to some poor people who are not Muslim, and inshallah Allah SWT will accept it, but not to actually eat it yourself. What is the...
Well, you know, Prophet Muhammad sallam had said that four people are cursed equally in the sin of interest. One who gives, one who receives, one who writes the contract, and one who witnesses. One who gives, then one who receives. Once you have received it, whether you eat it or you give it to somebody else, you have received it. It is a very serious area. You know, I've heard this rationale, and there's a number of people who hold it. Among them, people who are scholars, you know. The rationale is a rationale of logic. Why should we leave this money in the bank that is using it to support the World Council of Churches, which is spreading Christianity in our Muslim brothers, and they're supporting Israel? And this is logic, rationale. Allah says that those who refuse to leave that with beyond the principle, Allah has declared war on them. And you're going to come now with logic? This is a serious, serious issue. If we have been prohibited, surely in the time of the Prophet Muhammad, there are interests, dealings which involve the Jews and others, but this allowance was not given. We were commanded to give up what remains to us of the interest. Leave it. We take our principle, we are not oppressed, and we do not oppress us. That is what is for us. This is what is clear. You know, the halal is clear, the haram is clear, Between them is that shady area, not really known except to a few. Whoever avoids the shady area has protected his religion and his honor. But whoever falls into the shady area, he falls into haram eventually. He's taking the interest, you say, I'm giving it to the poor people. He keeps collecting the interest and giving it to these poor people. The temptation is going to come one day, but I need it to do this. And he goes and uses it to do that. He's opening himself up to falling clearly into the sin. So, in my opinion, which is the opinion of many scholars also, that taking of the interest and giving it to others without the intention of seeking reward from Allah for it, or using it to make toilets for the masjid, or, you know, things which are considered as no, this does not change the fact that we have taken the interest. And the Prophet ﷺ has said, such a person is cursed. So better for us to protect our religion and our honor and avoid the curse of Allah.
About this, with so many, you know, fits in institutions relating to like interest payments as well, how do you cope with them?
Well, then, which was before Islam, you are obliged to fulfill. Debts, you should not be acquiring any debts after Islam which involve interest. I think that's the bottom line, really. If you have put yourself into that situation, then you try to extricate yourself as quickly as possible, seek Allah's forgiveness. I mean, you've committed a major sin. And when the Prophet listed the seven major sins, and he started out a shirk billah. You know, what is in the same bag almost as committing shirk? Interest stuck in there among the major sins.
This is the, you know,
I won't say necessarily before the rising of the sun, but before the coming of the last hour. Prophet Muhammad did say that a wind would come and it would take the souls of all the believers. Okay? But whether the rising of the sun, because the rising of the sun is not the end of the world, it is among the signs. Right? So the point is that if it happens at that point, no forgiveness is accepted. This is a statement, it's a clear statement, you know, from Bukhari Muslim, clear statement on it. So we take it, you know, on the face value. In terms of the actual order, we know definitely it is before the end of the world, this is going to take place. But the rising of the sun could take place before the coming of the wind. Well, the paying of debt of that nature, I would say Islamically you shouldn't. You know, that which is clear cut, you know, corruption. In terms of the individual who says that we don't follow hadith, such an individual, in my opinion, is one who's saying, I don't follow the sunnah. I don't follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ultimately. Because the sunnah is conveyed through hadith. Primarily, it is conveyed through hadith. So if one denies the hadith, then he denies the sunnah. And when he denies the hadith and the sunnah, he is also, he's also heading for the Qur'an. Because the same people who brought the hadith, the statements and actions of the Prophet ﷺ to us, are the same ones who conveyed the Qur'an to us. And this is why you found like Rashad Khalifa in America, who brought this idea of 19 being the miraculous, numerical miracle of the Qur'an, you know, which became popular for a while, until he started to claim that from this 19 and the multiples of 19, he was able to calculate the day of Yom Al-Qiyamah when it was coming, and people started to wonder about him. Then from there he started to deny the Sunnah, and after denying the Sunnah, then he claimed that there were false verses in the Qur'an. And after that he claimed prophethood, and alhamdulillah after that, he was killed. Well, this is up to him now, you know. If you didn't, I mean, the point is that Allah, you haven't turned to him seeking his forgiveness. You see, Allah says, based on the sincerity of your intention, his mercy can cover now for that person's demand on the day of judgment, because you have made that act. You see, the Prophet said you should do this. He didn't say, if he forgave you, okay. No, he said, you do this, this is necessary for you to do, for you to attain Allah's mercy. So if you turn it, good. You may turn to good one, they won't accept it. But the point is that, you know, the deeds are by their intention. This is where that concept is valid here, right? By you turning back in sincere intention to Allah, turning and asking about his forgiveness, then Allah will cover for you on the day of judgment. You will be absolved of the error of that sincere deed. If it's done sincerely. Sometimes, I should mention, right, there are some errors that you may have committed which are of such grave nature that for you to tell your brother will create a bigger problem than already is. I mean, there are certainly errors of this nature. Scholars, looking at this principle, I've suggested that if the fitna which comes from you telling is greater than what you will solve by seeking his forgiveness, it is then better to keep it quiet. You know, you turn to Allah, ask for forgiveness, pray for his protection on the day of judgment. Okay, I think our time is, we are on the verge of the adhan. Brothers have asked for us to stop at this point. إن شاء الله نقول سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. We ask Allah to give us the spirit and the desire to turn to Him in repentance whenever we commit errors. To give us the courage and the strength to turn back to our brothers and ask for their forgiveness when we commit errors against them. And we also ask Allah to strengthen our faith and to allow us to die as believers. Amen.